Well, good evening, everyone. If I can draw your attention back to the front. And my name's Mark. If you don't know me, I'm the student worker here at Eden. If you've got a Bible, do turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19 onwards. And that's what we're going to be looking at now. And let's pray together as we look at God's word. Father, thank you that when we open our Bibles, you speak to us through what we read there. Please help us to listen now to what you say to us through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Who are your role models? Who do you look at and think, I want to be like them? Maybe some of us have got celebrity role models, people in sport or art or business who inspire us to greater heights in those areas. Maybe your role model is someone in your family, or maybe it's someone here at church. Maybe you have people who inspire you in particular ways, people you look up to in how they do their career, or in how they raise their kids, or maybe how adventurous they are. Who are your role models? Now, let me ask us a slightly different question to that. Whose example affects how you live? Which people influence the way you actually live? Do you see the distinction? See, we'll have some people who we consciously think, yeah, they're my role model. But for all of us, the example of lots of other people will have an effect on how we live as well. To different extents, we'll have people we unconsciously treat as role models too. So whose example affects how you live? I guess one big one for almost all of us will be our parents. Now, you might consciously think my parents are role models for me, but even if you don't think that, our parents have a massive impact, don't they, on how we live? I discovered this when I started sharing a house with some housemates, and we started sharing food and cooking together. And suddenly I realized I had very strong feelings about what kind of milk was the correct type of milk to buy, and about the correct way to chop an onion, and all sorts of things like this. Where's that come from? Well, it's the way my parents did it. My parents' example hugely affects how I live. Not just menial things like chopping vegetables. My attitude to family. My attitude to education and to money. But it won't just be with parents, will it? What about work colleagues? How does the example of your work colleagues affect your view of relationships? Or your view of success? I remember when I was a teacher, I set out determined to try and treat my pupils as people made in the image of God, people with dignity, and to treat them as such. Sometimes, though, the kind of conversations we had in the maths office were not particularly helpful for treating them that way, particularly some of the less than perfectly behaved pupils. And sometimes that affected me. Sometimes I would find myself treating a pupil more like an inconvenience than like a person. The example of my work colleagues affected me. Parents, work colleagues, what about friends from school or university? You see maybe what they're up to, what they put on social media. How does their example affect your view of happiness or fulfillment? We're so easily influenced, aren't we, by the example of others. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes we make people role models. But sometimes it's unconscious too. And Paul knows that as he writes this letter to the Philippian church. He's been writing, hasn't he, to encourage them to live a life worthy of the gospel, to stand firm, to grow in humility. But he knows that a big factor in whether that happens in their lives is the examples that they are following. And so this idea of role models, it's a theme all the way through the letter. And I think for us to understand this passage from 19 onwards, it's really helpful for us to get a big picture of that theme in the book. So just for a minute, turn over with me one page to chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17 says this: join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul says, be careful who your role models are. Follow my example, he says, and look around for people who live for Christ in the same way as I do. Be conscious of the kind of examples that are influencing you. But the thing is, in Philippians, Paul doesn't just tell them, be careful about your role models. In Philippians, he wants to give them models to follow. He paints these pictures throughout the letter of real people who are examples in living for Christ. So back in chapter 1, we saw it earlier in the summer. The picture was of Paul himself. We got this window into Paul's mindset, his mindset towards ministry and even life and death. And then chapter 2, the picture was that glorious vision of Jesus Christ, the ultimate role model in every way, and for them in this case, the model of humility for the Philippians to follow. And so we have all of that in our minds as we come to chapter 2, verse 19. Let me read it for us again. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Why does Paul give us this extended character reference for Timothy? He says they already know what Timothy's like. So why is he banging on about it? Why isn't this just a quick sentence? Well, because Timothy, too, is a role model. Like Paul in chapter 1, like Jesus in chapter 2, Timothy is an example of living for Christ. And Paul wants to remind them what he's like. It's a bit like a football coach of an under-15s team showing his team a video of Lionel Messi. Why is he doing that? It's not to prove that Messi is a brilliant player. They know he's a brilliant player. No, he's doing it to get them to watch, to really watch, pay attention, look at his technique, look at the way he does things. Go away and watch him some more at home, and then go out on the pitch and imitate him. Do it the way he does it. That's what Paul is doing as he writes about Timothy. He says, pay close attention to this guy, and then go and do what he does. Imitate him. And for us, 2,000 years later, we still have Timothy as an example to follow. Okay, it's only an outline. It's a few short sentences, but it's still a powerful model for us. And so God says to us this evening through this passage, you now go and do what he does. You imitate Timothy. And keep your eyes on people who are like him. Look for the Timothys who are around you, alongside you, and treat them as role models in living for Christ. So we're going to walk through from verse 19 down to 24, and we'll see this picture that Paul is painting us of Timothy. So let's dive in. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Paul really cares about the Philippians. That's come through often in this letter. He really wants to know how they're getting on. I think when he says news, I don't think he means like who's moved house or who's got a new pet or something like that. I think he means, are they keeping going with the gospel? How are they doing with standing firm, standing united, growing in humility? He wants to know how they're doing. But right now he can't go and see them because he's in prison. So he says, soon, I'm going to send Timothy instead. And Timothy can help you keep going with Jesus, and he can write back to me, and he can encourage me with how you're doing. In a sense, it's just kind of straightforward bit of logistics. But you see, there's a wonderful sense of partnership in that verse. There's nothing solo about being a Christian and Christian ministry for Paul or for Timothy. They're like a mini team. They're going in the same direction. And they're part of a wider team. The Philippian church is part of this team, this partnership as well. We'll come back to this partnership idea later on. But Paul pauses there on the logistics to give us this snapshot of what Timothy is like. Verse 20. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. It's probably kind of a little bit of hyperbole, but I think we get the point Paul's making, don't we? Timothy is a great guy. Philippians, you have hit the jackpot with me sending you Timothy. What makes him a great guy? Is he a great preacher? Is he going to bring them loads of riches from God's word and wisdom? Is he maybe a great people person? Maybe he's got loads of energy to be with people all the time and encourage them. Or is he really good at organizing things? Will he make their church activities just run seamlessly like never before? No, Timothy will show genuine concern for your welfare. Timothy genuinely cares about you, Philippians. Timothy really wants what's best for you. He's the kind of friend who will really listen to you. The kind of friend who will say hard things to you when you really need to hear them. He's the kind of guy who will be there to help when no one else will see, when there's nothing in it for him, because he genuinely cares about you. In the words of chapter 2, verse 3, Timothy values others above himself. He's modeling exactly the mindset Paul has been urging the Philippians to have, the mindset of Jesus Christ. So there's the first picture, the first part of our outline. I think we've got it coming up. Timothy seeks the good of others. Let's read on again from verse 20. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Again, I suspect when Paul says everyone, it's a bit of hyperbole. It's kind of like if I say everyone loves a good roast dinner. I don't mean literally every single person does, but I mean generally it's the norm. It's overwhelmingly common. And Paul says the norm that he sees, what's overwhelmingly common around him, is self-focus, looking out for your own interests. And so Timothy's humility shines brightly against this dark backdrop of self-interest. But then the end of verse 21, it kind of surprised me a bit. I don't know if it surprised you. So Paul's been writing in this chapter about humility, valuing others above yourself. And just think what you're expecting. He's talking about Timothy. He says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of others, is what I'm expecting him to say. But he doesn't. He says, Timothy looks out for the interests of Jesus Christ. And I think the point is this. When Timothy does what he does in verse 20, when he shows genuine concern for your welfare, that is looking out for the interests of Jesus Christ. The interests of Jesus are the welfare of his people. It's about to be the start of a new school year. Imagine you're starting a new job as a teaching assistant. Maybe you are, I don't know. And you're going into school. And you're really eager, and you're in your first lesson, the teacher sets the class off on a task, and you go, great, great, how can I help you? And the teacher says, oh, yeah, thanks. Could you just text my wife and ask her to get some broccoli on the way home? That would be great. And then if you do that, then here's who I want in my fantasy football team this week. If you can just update my profile for me, that would be great. If you're a TA, I really hope that doesn't happen to you tomorrow. It's not right, is it? The concerns of a teacher should be the welfare of his pupils. While he's in school, it's not about his own private concerns. It's about the good of his pupils. And so for a TA to help the teacher should mean to help the pupils. And it's a little bit like that with Jesus and his people. What Jesus cares about is the good of his people, not some private interest of his own. And it's not because he's paid for it like a teacher is. It's because that's just what he is like. We saw that so clearly, didn't we, earlier in chapter 2. Jesus is so focused on our good that he would go to the extent of laying down his life for us. The interests of Jesus are the welfare of his people. And so for Timothy to look out for the interests of Jesus, for Timothy to serve Jesus, well, it looks like seeking the good of his people. Timothy serves Christ by seeking the good of others. And as we look on at that, it's a good moment for us to pause and to ask ourselves, where do I put my own interests above the interests of Jesus Christ? Are there ways perhaps that I use my time that are just about my interests, and actually they're ignoring the interests of Jesus Christ? Perhaps does the way that I spend my money, is that about serving Jesus and the good of other people, or actually is it mostly about my own interests? In my relationships, how much of my attitude is genuine concern for the other person's good? Do I come to church or to house group thinking, how can I serve my brothers and sisters? How can you and I imitate Timothy's self-forgetfulness? What would it look like for us to look away from ourselves and turn towards Christ and therefore towards others? Just a quick side note here. It might be that you hear all those questions and you think, well, that sounds really virtuous, but frankly, it also sounds kind of miserable. I mean, just always thinking about Christ, always thinking about others, never thinking about my own interests. It sounds like it will suck the joy from my life. We've not got a lot of time to explore that. If that's a question you have, I'd love to chat to you about it afterwards. But one thing I'd encourage you to do, go back and really read Philippians 1. And what you'll see there is Paul talking about himself. You'll see a man who is utterly focused on Christ, who is utterly about the interests of others, and is utterly joyful. There is joy and there is freedom in looking away from yourself and towards Christ and towards others. And Timothy knew that. Timothy serves Christ by seeking the good of others. So what did that look like in his life? Well, let's go on, verse 22. But you know, Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Paul says, Philippians, you know what Timothy's like. You know he's proved himself as a servant of Christ. How has he proved himself? By serving with Paul in the work of the gospel. By striving so that the gospel is proclaimed and understood and received. This is what seeking the good of others looks like for Timothy. It looks like sharing the gospel. Because the greatest possible good for anyone is the gospel. The gospel is the news that everyone needs. This news we read about earlier in Philippians 2. This earth-shattering news, the Son of God became nothing for us. That Jesus Christ made himself the lowest of the low, dying a criminal's death for us. And that in doing so, he paid the price of our rebellion against God. But now God has exalted him, raised him from the dead, and seated him in heaven on the throne of the universe. And you and I can follow him there, can follow him on that journey. If we place our trust in Jesus, if we follow him, we can have an eternal home with God in heaven. And that is the single best piece of news for every person on this planet. And so for Timothy, this genuine concern for the welfare of others, it leads to sharing the gospel. Now, I don't think that just means sharing the gospel with people who aren't Christians. I mean, it definitely includes that. But, I mean, take Paul. Paul is always sharing the gospel with Christians as well. This letter, Philippians, since the start of chapter 1, the end of chapter 1, sorry, he's been writing to encourage them to live a life worthy of the gospel. The work of the gospel is sharing the gospel outside the church, but also inside the church. It means evangelism, but it also means discipleship. So you might find Timothy here on a Saturday morning, inviting people in to Eden Cafe, seeking to share the gospel with them over coffee. You might find him at work, plucking up the courage to say something when there's a chance to speak to his colleague about his faith. But you might also find him inviting someone over after church on Sunday for lunch, and in that conversation, seeking to build them up in the gospel. You might find him late on Saturday night cutting out a craft for his children's group so they'll remember the Bible story and understand the gospel better. Timothy knows the gospel is the greatest possible good for everyone. And so the way he seeks the good of others is by sharing the gospel with them. That's the next piece of our picture. Timothy serves Christ through gospel work for the good of others. Again, we can pause and say, what can I learn from Timothy? Do I really believe the best thing for every person that I know is for them to hear the gospel? Do I think that's what my neighbours need? Do I think that's what my children need? Do I think that's what the people in my home group need? What would it look like for you and I to imitate Timothy? What would it look like for us to share the gospel for the good of others? But you might have noticed there was some detail in verse 22 we rushed over. Let's have a look at it again. You know Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. See, Timothy is not a lone wolf gospel worker. No, he's in a partnership. In fact, it's kind of more intimate than that, isn't it? Paul says they're like a father and son. It's kind of like family business of ministry. You can imagine them having a little white van going around town. Paul and sons, delivering the gospel for your good. They're partners. They're a team. And in fact, what we're seeing right here is a live example of their partnership. We saw it in verse 19, didn't we? Now it comes up again, verse 23. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. God's given Paul confidence. Soon he will be free to see the Philippians himself. But for the time being, it's not the end of the world, because he can send Timothy. Timothy is a willing partner. He's a team member in the work of the gospel. So maybe there's one more bit of shading we can add to Timothy's outline. Timothy serves Christ through gospel partnership for the good of others. I've had a privilege of helping on Colwyn Bay 3 summer camp, which quite a few of us go on in the last few years. And I think it's one of my favourite examples of gospel partnership. Because in the weeks leading up to camp, all around the country, you have Christians, some of whom don't even know each other, preparing Bible studies together, planning activities together, emailing each other about who can bring a blender and who can bring some cardboard and all sorts of other things. There's people who are brilliant at spreadsheets and organizing. There's people who are brilliant at Bible teaching. There's people who are just very good at making a fool of themselves. And everyone is pulling in the same direction. Everyone wants to make a great fun holiday where teenagers get to know Jesus better. On our own, as leaders, each of us has one bit of the jigsaw. And it's pretty useless on our own. But when you put them all together, It's brilliant. Gospel partnership is a brilliant thing. Timothy knew that. I don't know if he did summer camp with Philippian teenagers, but he knew that. He got gospel partnership. So there he is. Timothy serves Christ through gospel partnership for the good of others. As we step back and look at his big picture, if you like, I wonder how his example has struck you. I wonder how his devotion to the agenda of Jesus has challenged you. I wonder how his commitment to gospel work for others has inspired you. It's not really something we can pin down, I don't think, to a few practical things. And of course, for all of us, in different job situations, in different family situations, gospel partnership will look different. I'd encourage you, why not spend some time this week reflecting on these verses, the example of Timothy, reflecting on what it would look like for you to follow his example today or this week or this year. But as we finish, let me suggest one way that we can see some practical examples of what this might look like in our lives. Turn around and have a look around you. Go on, you are allowed to. Have a look around. You see, when I look around our church, Sunday by Sunday, I see a church which is full of Timothys. It's full of people who are real life role models to me of serving Christ by serving others through the gospel work. People who give up their lunchtimes or their evenings to meet up one-to-one with a student. Or people who have faithfully run Not So Young Lunch for years and years. In other words, that's people who are serving Jesus by sharing the gospel with others. There's people who pour hours of time and effort into supporting our mission partners. There's people who give sacrificially of their money so that those mission partners can be funded. In other words, people who are partnering in gospel work for the good of others. There's people who make career choices that just look bonkers to the outside world. And they think, how is that in that person's best interest? But that person isn't interested in their best interest. They're interested in the interest of Jesus Christ. And there's people who show genuine concern for the welfare of others. It's played out in all sorts of small ways. Being welcomed on a Sunday, an encouraging text in the week, faithfully praying for others. So friends, keep going. Keep serving Christ. Keep going in gospel work for the good of others. As you do, you display Christ to the world and you please him. And keep looking around you. Keep your eyes on those in our church family who are role models like Timothy of serving Christ. Get to know them better. Chat to them. Ask them about their lives. Ask them how they keep going for Jesus day by day. Allow yourself to be challenged by them, spurred on by them, inspired by their example. And finally, let's keep looking to our ultimate role model. Let's look to Jesus most of all. Let's remember his complete selfless service of us, his total commitment to our good. Let's remember the ultimate great gospel work that he has done, dying on the cross so that we can know him and serve him. Let's have a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. Father, thank you for Timothy. Thank you that he is our brother in Christ and such a great example for us. Please show each of us where you are challenging us and inspiring us to follow his example. Thank you for others around us who are examples and role models in living for Christ. And thank you most of all for the example of Jesus. Thank you for his selflessness, his humility, his commitment to others. And thank you that it's his work which means we can have confidence in knowing you and confidence in serving you. And we pray in his name. Amen.